But we stood out there and we just kept praying. You wouldn't believe how many people gave us thumbs up and blowing their horns and encouraging and standing with us. A lot more are standing with us than those that are against us. And then, oh, I got to share this one. And then this little old grandma came driving by. She was the sweetest looking lady, right, Pastor Jeff? She had gray hair about down to here, perfectly manicured. You could see her coming. And she's looking out the window and she's smiling. And then she flips us the bird. Can I tell you, I couldn't even get offended. She was so sweet. She was so, I'm like, I just want to go hug that lady. I don't know who she is. I've never seen her before, but I've never had that happen and be so like, aw. Don't ask me. That's just what happened. All right. Listen, we're living in the end times, right? You believe you're living in the end times? Right. The end is closer than when you first believed. Can we agree on that? Right. Does any man know the day or the hour? Absolutely not. But we need to live like we're living in the last days. Amen? How many generations have gone before us and been consumed with cars and houses and all of these other things, and yet they died and here they all are? Right? Everything they strived for is still here. They're not. But then they're standing before the good Lord. I was so blessed because Ann's dad, he was a big hunter. And he had a very good job. His wife was a professor at colleges, and she had a great job. And they had properties and stuff. And at the end, the most important thing that ever happened in that man's life, the most important thing he ever did, was Ann's sister was sitting there holding his hand. And she said, Daddy, if you will believe and ask God to forgive you and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Do you believe? And he squeezed her hand. And then they prayed over him, and a tear came down his eye. And then he was dead in a couple of hours. The most important time in that man's life was right then. Everything he did prior to that didn't compare to what happened in that last 2 hours of his life. Please don't get consumed with everything else that happens other than that moment when someone else comes to know Jesus Christ. Let's not get lost. This is a time. Look at, darkness is covering the earth, is it not? Holy mackerel, are things getting crazy out there. How many want to be out in the biggest storm there is? That's where I want to be. I want to be out in the storm. When snowstorms come, I want to be out there. When hurricanes come, I want to be out there helping people right after. We used to fly through them in the military. I don't like flying through them much. Man shouldn't be there at 30,000 feet flying through typhoons. But in these end times, I just want you to know that there's going to be no atheists in the end time. Right? Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel against who? Against who? Oh, so they know him. Oh, they're going to know him, trust me. In the end time, in this last battle, in the battle of Armageddon, they're going to be standing against the Lord. There's going to be no atheists because they're all going to be fighting for one purpose. They're all going to be fighting for one reason. They're fighting against the one who was and is to come. And guess what? He who fights against God always loses. Always. God doesn't lose. And I loved Kristen's word this morning. Where's Kristen? Doesn't she sit over here somewhere still? Yeah. When she said, God sees your victory before you do. Oh. Where's that microphone? What did we do with that, Hams? It was right there? Rick, come. Sorry. That's all right. I'll turn it on. I have the technology. You're right, Brad. So come, Kathy. Oh, I'm glad. Sorry. Come on up here. Yeah, I'm learning. Hey, Ben. Ben. Now give everybody a wave. Yeah. I see the JR Contracting shirt is on. Uh-huh. Well, for those of you who don't know, this is Ben Safran, and he's a miracle. Yeah. Come on, Grandpa.
It's Ben. Yep.
What do you want to say?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It'll be a year. His birthday is what, April or May? So it's been a year. And I'll tell you, it's been a road. But
yeah, it's been a road.
Well, a lot of things learned, I can tell you that. Mm. And even everything that... What we learned is that we trust in the Lord. That's what we learned, right?
Yeah.
Faith is just something that the Lord has already done, really. Faith Amen. Is just his word. And if we just stop, I sat here many, many days, not that it changed God by any means, but it certainly changed me, that it's the word of God that we have to live by.
Yeah.
And you want to hold it? All right. And we learned about the house of God that stood beside their mom and dad through all of this, because this has been a year, and they spent the last 3 months, 20 days in the hospital each day, and they were right there with him.
Each month,
For each month, every month, Albany, I don't know how many days, but they never left his side. And you learn and see so much. But in the end, we learned that we just got to keep our trust in the Lord,
Amen.
Keep our eyes on the Lord. And he always pulls through. The victory is always in the Lord. And boy, don't we know it now, because cancer's gone, never to return. And we also learned just how weak Rick was, and
what's that? Sorry,
we learned how weak Rick was and how strong Kathy was.
Come on, Kathy.
And all I want to say is, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered.
Amen.
He answered our prayer.
Amen.
And it's a good morning this morning, and we learned how to. I learned how to pray more for healing, and that little orange book, 39 stripes. Jesus, 39 stripes, gives you the scriptures, shows you how to pray, what to pray against, and. Amen. I know Rick sat here many days praying the book, and I was at home praying it, and you could feel God with you, and you knew he's gonna take care of this. And even when we had setbacks, you know, another thing in his brain showing up, and you prayed and you prayed, and you believed that it would be gone in the next MRI, and it would be gone.
Amen.
All right, say thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, one more thing.
And I just want to thank Rick especially, because without him, I mean, we all would have been on the streets broke. As soon as Ben was diagnosed with this very rare and aggressive cancer in his head, Lydia and Caleb had to quit their jobs. Lydia quit school, and they were just by his side the whole time. And they had to give up their apartment and everything. They had no income. But he took them in right away. We had them upstairs for 6 months. They lived with us. Then they were in the hospital a long time. And when they came back, he had fixed up a nice apartment for them, put a lot of money into it, made it bigger for Ben and them to live in. And really, without him and his prayer and his...
Amen.
And Ben just really dependent on Rick all the time. It's like, Pop, Pop, Pop. Is Pop here? What are you doing here? I want Pop, you know? Always Pop. And he just... I just want to thank him for being such a good pop.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen. Thank the Lord for being so good.
Amen.
Hey, Ron.
I don't know about you, but when your grandbabies go through things, it changes you. You can go through things, and it's one thing. But you watch your grandbabies go through it, and everything starts to change. It's funny how prayer changes, huh, Kathy? Prayer changes. Amen. Ah, just good testimonies today. Amen. You know, Gianna being able to change her eating just by realizing that Jesus is called the bread of life. He is. He changes things. Oh, there's another one, too. Where's Joel? Is he... Joel, stand up for a second. They had another baby, right? What's that, 20? 17? 4? What is it? Little girl, what's her name?
Cordelia.
Cordelia? Wonderful. Ah, congratulations. Give your bride a big hug for us. Holy mackerel. Chad, you changed that clock. These people are taking up all the time with their testimonies and stuff. I don't. But I want you to know, in these end times, all right, they're going to know the Lord. They're going to know there's a difference between right and wrong. They're going to know there's light and dark. And when you walk into the room, light walks in. Amen? And actually, before you even get there, because the Lord goes before you, light already walks in, and they're already starting to see things change before you get there. And they're already, God is already preparing their hearts before you get there. Our job is just to simply share what he has called us to share. In Revelation 17, it says that the kings of the earth will wage war with the Lord. The kings of the earth will wage war with the Lord. Guess what the kings bring with them? All the rest of the people on the planet. They're going to know who the Lord is. You know him now, and we bowed our knees before the Lord. Therefore, we have the victory. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, the wrath of God has been turned away from you. And so many people are still wondering whether God loves them. I want you to know that he does. I want you to know he's madly in love with you, and the wrath of God has turned away from you, and he will not turn it back towards you. Isn't that good news? Because you love the Son, because of the power of his blood. And you know, a couple of the things that I've been chewing on, which I'm never going to get into too much of it, but in Psalms 119, 132, can you put that up there, Chad? I wanted you to read this with me, because when I read it, it just jumped off the page. Do we have that one? I think it's in the Bible. I'll read it for you. In the NASB, it says, turn to me. This is David. Well, whether it's Moses or David, right? Because in 119, this is David. 191, we're going to read next. But he says, turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. I want you to highlight that in your Bible, because I don't think a lot of people have the courage to pray this. I don't think a lot of people believe enough. He said, turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner, Lord, right? That's a capital Y. After your manner with those who love your name. How many in here love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Right. So you can now pray just like he did. Say, be gracious to me. What kind of manner of love does God have? Man, this isn't your manner of love, because yours is limited. All somebody's got to do is cut you off and your love changes. All somebody's got to do is not mention your name when you do something good and you get an attitude. All somebody's got to do is stand out there and hold the sign. It says, pray for the the babies. And people lose their mind. I don't believe a lot of people believe that God loves you that much, that you can actually turn to him and say, Lord, be gracious to me after your manner. I love the Lord because he loved me first. The only way I know how to love, or what love is by his word. The only way that we know how to love is because of his word. He said, I am love. That's what he said. And because I'm love, I'm willing to sacrifice my son so that I can teach you how to love, so that when you find out that I love you, you'll be able to love yourself and then those around you, even those that curse you out. But this is what God's word says. Lord, be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Oh, I don't know about you, but God's manner was he washed away all my guilt. That's God's love. All of your shame, you're not allowed to speak of it ever again. Please stop talking about who you were. Please stop having that conversation in your mind when nobody else is around about how bad you are and all the failures you've done or what you didn't do right. God took all of that from you. The shame. Stop with the guilt. Don't guilt yourself into coming to church. Don't guilt your children. Well, your children you can guilt into, but you shouldn't have to. Just drag them, all right? Just tie a rope around them and drag them to church. In the truck, behind the truck, whatever it takes, all right? But there should be no guilt in your life. When you came in this morning, did you feel guilty for something you've done wrong? Did you hold back in worship because you didn't agree that all of the guilt, all of the shame has been wiped away and the wrath of God is turned away from you? It was easy for Rick and Kathy to pray for their grandson. and believe for a healing. What has he done at 4 years old? So it's easy to lift him up before the Lord. How about you? Is it easy for you to come before the Lord and say, Lord, be gracious to me, after the manner of the way that you love those who love your name? How much did he love you that he sent his only begotten son to be tortured and be brutalized just for you? The love that he has for you, David saying, I want that kind of love. Be gracious to me, Lord. I want the kind of love that you pour out on those who love your name. What did Israel need in the desert? Absolutely nothing. What they wanted was something else, but what they needed was nothing. You have need of nothing today for your salvation. Listen, if you're here today and you don't feel like you're free, you feel that you're bound, whether it is something that a substance that you're struggling with, maybe it's a mistake you made years ago. You know, if we're sitting in a room this size, I guarantee you that there's women that have used Planned Parenthood or something along those. I want you to know, I want you to know there's still freedom for you in Jesus Christ. That's the kind of love that God pours out on those who love his name. They take the mistake and he says, I'll never bring it up. And no one will accuse you of what you have done because you're in me now. So now it's about you agreeing with what he said so the enemy doesn't beat you up the rest of your life. That's what David's saying. Lord, be gracious to me. That's the kind of love the Father has. Whatever your mistake was, he said, I will take that. Leave it alone. Drop it at the base of my cross and don't ever pick it up again. I'll walk you through everything. I can see your victory before you get there. I see the victory that I paid for. You're going to get there eventually. Prayerfully, by preaching the word of God, reading the word of God, studying the word of God, and then there comes the time to agreeing with the word of God. Because a lot of people have heard the word of God. They've got a lot of knowledge. Some people have been studying the word of God for a very long time, but they do not act on the word of God. How many Christians, not in other churches, but even here, how many have learned the word of God, studied the word of God, know the word of God, and yet limited the word of God in their lives because they're afraid to step out. They're afraid to open up their house. They're afraid to begin something that God has placed on their heart. Pastor Chris said that there's revival in the house, and I believe that God's reviving the vision that he gave to many of you here. Because I know that some of you, he said, you're going to plant a church. I know there's some who said, you're going to go into mission field. I know it's some that are going to say, you're going to adopt kids. Some that he's proclaiming over your life that I want you to step out more in a prophetic. Where's Leon and Kristen? Are they downstairs teaching? Oh, they're downstairs teaching. Me and Pastor Chris, Pastor Jeff, so, I don't know, some other pastor in the house. We were talking earlier, and there's a prophetic anointing on Kristen. When you hear her pray, when you hear her speak, there's a prophetic edge to her life. And that needs, what do leaders do? Why do we need spiritual leadership? To draw that out. Yes. Right? Why are you here today? You're here today because somebody else told you about Jesus Christ. You surrendered, you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Now what we want to do as leaders is find every gift in the house of God and pull it out of each and every one of you to put it on display for the whole world to see. Who did Jesus heal? Those that didn't know him. It wasn't the Christians. He was put on display for the world to see. And he was out there laying hands on them, those that didn't even believe in him. It's a sign to the unbeliever. That's what your gift is. Your gift is a sign, hospitality. Guess what? Bring in somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ into your home. You think Planned Parenthood was bad. Where do they steal from you and other things? Oh, we've had it happen. Yeah, one guy we helped out, he stole our TVs, our VCRs, back when they had VCRs, stole the gold jewelry from my wife, cleaned us out. You know what we found out? It was stuff. Yeah. We had so much stuff, the guy came back and robbed us a second time. The same day, he looked around and said, hey, they're still serving at the church, let's go back. The guy came to church too. Ah, yeah. Listen, you're going to have those times, and guess what? It's stuff. but it's the souls of men and women that God's interested in. The gift that you have is to be put on display, especially in these end times when people are walking in darkness and they're afraid of everything. How many people are walking in fear? Tell your neighbor, say, not me. That's right. So if you're not in fear, then somebody else is going to hear about the goodness of God this week. Got quiet. You know, I didn't hear everybody, yeah, that's me, baby. Woo! Can't wait. Bless me the way that you bless those that love your name. Listen, I want that to be your battle cry. Lord, I want to walk in that type of blessing, that no matter where I walk, everybody around me receives something that I've gotten from the Lord. Psalms 91, now this one, whether it was David or whether it was Moses, Psalms 91, verses 14 to 16. Turn there quickly. Highlight this in your Bible too. It says, because he has loved me, right? He's talking to the Lord, because he has loved me, right? He's talking about, the Lord is speaking here through him. Because he has loved me, because whether it's David's writing this, because David has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Tell your neighbor, say, he will deliver you. Tell your neighbor, say, he will set you securely on high. Right. Tell your neighbor, say, he will answer me. Tell your neighbor, say, he will help me in the time of trouble. Tell your neighbor, say, he will rescue me. And he will honor me with long life. He will satisfy me and let me see the salvation. Do you see how these go together? Why? Because he loved him. Listen, this is what he's saying. This is what God is saying to him. He said, because he has loved me. What did verse 119, 132 say? Turn to me and be gracious to me after the manner with those who love your name. David's saying, God's saying, oh, because you loved me. Tell your neighbor, say, I love the Lord. Tell your other neighbor, say, you should too. All right. The Lord is saying, because he loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Anybody need deliverance in your mind? Anybody need deliverance from substances? Anybody need deliverance from the pain of yesterday? Anybody need deliverance from anything? What does the scripture say? This is the Old Testament before the Spirit of God is poured out, before the power of the blood of Jesus Christ washes and cleanses. He said, I will deliver you. This is God's promise. He doesn't lie and he doesn't change. He said, I will deliver you. Yeah, but my marriage is struggling because of the way that I was raised. I will deliver you from that thought process. Yeah, but I don't know how to raise kids. I will deliver you from that thought process. I get so sick of people who say, I'm going to raise them according to the way that I was trained in the world. Listen, I raise my kids according to the word of God. Right? Are children born with foolishness in their heart? Well, yeah, you're just a bunch of children in big people's clothes. How many foolish thoughts have you had? How many foolish thoughts or things have you done? We've all done it. And the Bible says, hey, a child is born with foolishness in his heart and the rod drives it from him. See, that spanking's a good thing. Well, okay, six people agree with me. The rest of you were trained by the world. No, because a spanking is a good thing. A beating is a spanking without love. Many got beat when you were younger. That's the wrong way to do it. But the word of God says that a child is born with foolishness in his heart. That child needs to fear somebody. It's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why are these children running around like wild animals? Why is it that the schools, they took the doors off of the bathrooms in Taconic Hill School? Because too many kids are vaping. They can't control the kids. The kids don't even use the bathrooms in the school. They hold it all day because they don't want to go into a bathroom. The teachers don't have any authority because the state of New York took them from them. The principal doesn't have any authority. They can't control anybody. Why? Because there's no authority. And that authority starts in the home. And if you don't exercise your authority, you set your children up for destruction. That's what you do. I love you, baby. I love you. This is what God's word says. I don't care what man has to say. No man saved me. No man washed me and cleansed me. No man filled me with the Spirit of God. No man will stand before God when I stand by myself. And you know what? Nobody's got perfect kids. Do we, Bren? No. We tried. Oh, we were going to do it right. We were wrong. And you know what? Children are going to make mistakes and they're going to make decisions and we're going to walk them all the way through it. And that's what God does with us. When we come to Christ, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things right. We're going to do things wrong. And God's going to walk us through it. But we're going to walk according to his word. Amen? He said, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Your deliverance comes from the power of the word of God. He said, I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. Listen, God wants to lift you up before man. But the only way we get lifted up before man is when we do what he called us to do. That's what he wants to do. He wants to show off through every person in this room. He wants the whole world to see deliverance and healing. He wants every one of them to accept him as their Lord and Savior. But how are they going to hear unless you preach? How are they going to hear unless we share? How are we going to share unless we believe? He said, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I think that was spoken today. Kathy shared that in her testimony. Yeah. I prayed and the Lord heard me and he answered me. Yeah, oh, that our faith would strive to agree with what the word says rather than how we feel. I talked to a gentleman a while back and we stood on the word of God. We prayed the word of God. We spoke the word of God. And then a doctor came in and gave one word and everything I spoke went out the window. Fear came in. One word from one human being and everything changed in a man's heart. Why do we do that? Why is it that man has the final word in the kingdom of our God? Our God has the final word in your life. Man says you're no good. God said I made you just right. Man said you're a loser. God said I made you victorious through Jesus Christ. Man's word always comes in underneath the power of the word of God. God's word needs to rule and reign supreme in our lives. He said, look, I want to lift you up. I want the whole world to be looking at you. I put a gift on the inside of you that's so incredible. I thought about it. And before you're ever born, I thought, oh, yes. This is what I'm going to put in him. This is what I'm going to put in her. Wait till that gift is expressed. When they believe that I'll be gracious to them in the manner of love with those who love my name. Wait till they surrender to that anointing and they start to express it. And when they see people's lives get changed, he thought about the gift he put in you a long time ago. How many here know that you have an anointing? That anointing is not because of your gift. Don't get confused. You've got an anointing, and that anointing breaks the yoke. How many people do? How many men and women, Joel, do you guys have down in those alpha groups now?
70 to 80 people going right now.
And how many people did you start out with? Would you say 10? When you started? Five people. And now how many men and people have gone through it? What's 3 times 8? Yeah. He stepped out and used the gift that God had given him. 5 people came. They didn't see a lot in Joel in the beginning. God did before Joel was born. And then God said, oh, look at my boy stepping out. I'm going to be gracious to him. That's my manner of love with those who love my name. what's that, 240 people a year going through it about? Touching 240 people a year with the gift that God has given them. I want you to know your gift will touch just as many and even more. And even more. He said, I will be with him in trouble. Ooh, that's good news, isn't it? No matter what, even when you bring trouble on yourself. How many men brought trouble on themselves when you opened your mouth to your wife this week? It's a lot easier when you start out with, yes, ma'am. We bring trouble on ourselves, and yet God is still with us in the midst of it. It's been 37 years, and I still bring trouble on myself, not even intentionally, but it happens. And guess what? My God is with me all the way through it. And he's never going to stop. He said, I will rescue him and honor him. Look, God didn't only rescue you out of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of his beloved son. That's not just it. That's not it. Not just the rescuing part. A lot of churches and a lot of people, you've come here, you've given your life to Christ, and he's rescued you, and they thought, that's good enough. I'll just sit. I'll be faithful. I'll come on Sundays, maybe even pop in on a Wednesday once in a while, and now he's rescued me, so I'll give him that hour and a half, or maybe 2 hours today. I'll give him that hour and a half. He's rescued me. He deserves that much. God didn't just want to rescue you. He wants to honor you. That's what he wants to do. It's not just about coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the first step. He said, look, I want to bless you the way that I bless them that love my name. I don't know what manner you have in your mind of how God does that, but mine's growing every day the more that I read that. He said, I'll rescue you and I'll honor you with long life. I will satisfy you and I'll let you see my salvation. We've seen the salvation of God in our lives. Amen? Are you experiencing that? I am. I'm saved to the uttermost. Every sin of yesterday has been washed away. So many people are carrying their sins from yesterday. Tell your neighbor, say, knock it off. Sometimes it's just a thought in your head. You didn't even tell anybody. Nobody knows that you're beating yourself up at night, that you're beating yourself up in the morning, that you're blaming yourself for something somebody else did. God said, stop it. I've taken that from you. I've made all things new. You're mine, and I love you with an everlasting love, and I'll never accuse you, ever. Never again. Everything you did before you came to know me has been washed away. What you did this morning has been washed away by the power of his love. Even your mistakes of tomorrow will be washed away. I don't want to make mistakes in the future because of his great love towards me. I just love him so much. I don't want to do that stupid stuff anymore. He's taken so many things out of my life. And yet there's still so many things that I have to deal with on a daily basis. Okay, well, I'm the only one. No. God wants something new in your life this week. He wants something new. He wants to bless you. Will you let him? How many people have walked away from the call of God and say, I don't want that blessing on my life? How many people have withheld the gift saying, I just can't. I can't allow God to use me that way because of what I've done. I want you to know, he wants to use you in spite of you. He's used me in spite of me. I tried everything to get out of this. I begged them not to send me here. Please don't send me to Hudson. I don't want to go there. There's a cute little town up by the Sacandaga Reservoir called Mayfield. Very small town on the lake. Good hunting, good fishing. Can I go there? They said, what? No. I didn't want to come. But we did as an act of obedience. And now I've become one of the richest men in the world because of you. God has given us friends and family that are rich, that makes us richer than anybody else on the planet. Because of your love for God, we get rich. Because when you say you love the Lord and when you serve him, our hearts explode. And we say, we look in the mirror and say, God, you can use us. You're the proof that God still uses donkeys. Oh, yeah, there's four more fingers pointing back at you. Oh, yeah. He can use anyone that takes the gift, lays it at the altar, and says, this is what I want to do. Amen? He wants to use you.